Okay, start talking.
Well, it said that purple thing purple.
Oh, yeah?
Why? Oh.
What color is this?
It's purple.
What color is this?
White.
Red. What color is this?
What? And purple.
Green. What's this?
Green. Mm-hmm.
What color is this one?
And pink.
Pink. Hello, everybody. This is Luke with the Space Travel Podcast. Today, with me against her will, is my wife, Amanda. wanted to jump right in today. We had a bunch of things happen this weekend, one after the other, it seemed. The first thing was the Electron launch, Don't Stop Me Now, that was dedicated to Sanford Scott Smith, who was a board member and dear friend of the Rocket Labs team. And the reason that they decided to call it Don't Stop Me Now is because his favorite song was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. Thought that was an interesting tidbit. But they showed a bunch of really awesome footage today when we were waiting for the launch. Or not today, I'm sorry. A couple days ago. When we were waiting for the launch. Their test stage capture video. How the canopy collapses whenever the helo hooks it and brings it up. They also gave us some pretty cool statistics on all the things that they've accomplished over the time that they've been operating. 110 engines been launched to space, pushing 48 different satellites. They now make a rocket every 18 days, thanks to their big machine, Rosie, that just pumps out electrons, it seems. And they have over 500 employees in Rocket Labs. That particular day ended up being a scrub due to high winds, which for all of us space nerds is always a letdown. But they did end up launching just a day later, and it was a beautiful launch. Everything went great. Went up into space. I always like watching that hot swap with the batteries because I find the Electron to be an extremely intriguing rocket, due to the fact that it is the only one that has electric-powered turbo pumps to push propellant to the combustion chambers. And during launch, once the first set of batteries is depleted, they have to do what they call a hot swap, where they drop the depleted batteries and swap over to the auxiliary batteries to continue the second stage up into its destination. I did hear that Rocket Lab also deorbits everything that they launch, so no junk in space from Rocket Lab. Compared to Falcon 9, Rocket Lab's Electron is a rather small rocket, being only 17 meters, comes out to 55 feet. If you compare that to the Falcon 9, which is way larger than that, 220 feet tall, so it's the Electron rocket's about the size of one of the Falcon 9's landing legs. Thought that was interesting. But each one of Electron's engines puts out about 5,500 pound force worth of thrust, which is impressive. I mean, that definitely gets that small rocket up and out there. All right, moving on to the other thing I saw an update for on the internet that I am extremely excited about. It's going to be the James Webb Telescope. Talk about a beautiful observatory. It is a very gorgeous machine. They just completed not too long ago the deployable tower assembly test, which was successful. And what that does is it pushes kind of everything apart and separates the propulsion components and, all of that kind of stuff away from the sensors and the electronics and the mirror, because the mirror and the sensors actually have to be extremely cold to operate correctly. negative 220 degrees, or about negative 50 Kelvin. It's pretty wild, but it's very interesting that they have figured out an engineering way of getting around, messing up the temperatures for the mirror. But it's going to have an 18 meter hexagonal segments that are all put together. That's going to make a 21 foot diameter mirror that is larger than the Hubble, which is only comes in at 2.4 meters or about 7.9 feet. So this means the James Webb will see in a lower frequency than the near and dear to us Hubble, to see from long wavelength visible light through mid-infrared, which means it's going to be able to observe very high redshift objects. Those redshift objects are very old, very far away, and not to mention back in time, which is pretty awesome. The next thing I wanted to talk about were the Starship landing leg prototypes that were spotted in Boca Chica. To me, they looked really small, very stout, but I don't know. They don't look like they're going to hold up that massive Starship. I'll post some pictures to my Twitter so everybody can see. But when Elon was asked about these landing legs, he did post on Twitter and say that they are working on new legs with a wider stance and auto-leveling capabilities. Now, that auto-leveling capability is going to be very necessary when it comes to landing on the moon, Mars, places like that where we can't know for sure that we've got a pad sitting there for us to land on. You know, you might land with 1 foot sitting on a rock and the other feet sitting flat on the ground. And in that case, you got to be able to level out your weight or the whole thing will just topple over. And that would be a tragedy. Catastrophic, to say the least, yes. thank you to Mr. Tory Bruno also, because he posts some of the dopest videos of his rocket factory ever. I love Tory's videos. If you haven't gone on Twitter and checked him out, at Tory Bruno, he is the CEO of ULA, the United Launch Alliance, and an extremely awesome guy. He's very good about responding to tweets, asking him general questions about all this stuff, because he's just a space nerd, just like us. He just happens to be the CEO of a rocket company. Yeah. So. Yep, that's been a big thing lately on the internet, which has been fun to watch. You know, people ask him how many banana units of propellant will a Vulcan burn per second or whatever, and he indulges everybody, which I think is pretty cool. And I know a lot of people get a kick out of it, but the video that he posted the other day would be of the new ULA rocket, the Vulcan. Its booster locks and methane tanks were star welded together, and they have just the coolest, most awesome machines ever. Unlike how Starship is being produced in Boca Chica, Texas, and by no means am I hating on SpaceX or anything like that for the way they are building the Starship. I completely understand their process, but ULA is more of I don't really know how to say this. Yeah, I mean, they're more of a refined rocket manufacturing facility, you know, clean rooms, all that kind of stuff. But it's very cool to see. There's a video made by Smarter Every Day where he goes in and he takes a tour of ULA's rocket factory with Mr. Tory. And if you haven't seen that video yet, definitely go check it out. Very interesting. Of course, there's a lot of things that he's not allowed to film just due to U.S. law and all that, but still, very interesting. You get to see all the ISO grids that make up the interior of the fairings to protect payloads from vibration and the atmosphere in general. Very awesome. The Starlink launch that just happened not too long ago was beautiful. I mean, went off without a hitch. Booster landed perfectly. Everything seemed to go great. I just can't even describe how much I enjoy watching these Starlink launches and stuff like that. And this particular launch was unique in the fact that it was a ride share. So instead of launching 60 Starlink satellites, they actually launched 58 Starlink satellites with three small sats for another company on board. So once we got the second stage, once they got the second stage up into orbit, they actually, instead of spinning the spacecraft horizontally like they do to deploy the Starlink satellites, they actually turned retrograde and then just deployed these small sats one by one. And there's a lot of really cool images going around Twitter right now. I even shared a couple myself where I threw a filter on there so you can see the small sats really well. But very awesome. Then they spun around and they deployed the Starlink as usual. I was going to try to go outside last night and view the Starlink, but I'm pretty sure they launched from the Vandenberg Air Force Base. So last night it was just mostly in the Southern Hemisphere, which I am not able to see here in Louisiana. But that was a majority of what's been happening this weekend. I did see another cool thing about Electron and Rocket Labs. Electron and Rocket Labs have a new program called Proton, which I haven't heard a whole lot about. I mean, I've been kind of following it for a little bit now, but I didn't really look into it too deep. But it's going to be their lunar spacecraft that they'll be launching atop an Electron rocket, which will be very interesting. They're not going to do it in the traditional sense on how like ULA or somebody would just use a very heavy lift rocket and just blast it to the moon. They're going to launch this into LEO. It's going to orbit the Earth in a highly elliptical pattern. 10 times, I think they said, gaining velocity each time before it makes its transfer over to the moon's orbit. Boca Chica gal. She posted some great pictures, as she always does, on Twitter of the SN5 rollout of the high bay. And hopefully they're going to get maybe today or tomorrow to moving SN5 down towards the launch pad. I know for a fact that they are trying out their new 304L stainless steel with a test tank that they just took down to the launch pad. So that's going to be exciting to see. Hopefully that goes well. Yeah, we did. We saw on Marcus House's video what looked to be wings for Starship. I'm really hoping that they're going to put those on SN5 and we're going to get to see a hop before long. I don't know about y'all, but I'm stoked. I know my kids will be stoked to watch it. The Starhopper launch was a very exciting time in our house. We really enjoyed that, so I can only imagine the excitement level whenever they launch the first Starship off the ground. The day the water tower flew, yes. And if y'all aren't aware, my wife is actually doing a little bit of an art campaign on Twitter now. Y'all can find her at AmandaStamey19 on Twitter. You know, she's just taking a liking to doing some space artwork. Paint on canvas and paint on reused drywall and just a lot of cool stuff like that. So if you want to learn more about that, go hit her up on Twitter at AmandaStamey19. As always, you can hit me up on Twitter at LukeStamey20 and tell me what you think of the show. Any kind of tips, you know, anything y'all got, shoot it my way. I appreciate it. Anything I can do to make this podcast a little better and more fun for y'all to listen to. I do have a GoFundMe campaign out there right now, trying to raise some money to buy a real microphone and some editing software to make this podcast a little bit more enjoyable as well. So if you guys want to go check that out on GoFundMe, it's inspiring people to wonder about the universe. Also, if you go to my Anchor page, which would be anchor.fm/spacetravel, you can sponsor the podcast there. And as always, on Apple Podcasts, if y'all could write a review, give us a star rating, we would greatly appreciate it. that's all I got for today, guys. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. We love y'all. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.